Welcome to the Dreamcatcher Podcast, a place where your dreams can find a voice. I'm your host, Celine Chenoy. Thank you to all of you who return every week to tune in to become a better version of yourself. Make sure you hit subscribe if you haven't already, and rate our show if you enjoyed this episode.
Do you ever experience a deep sense of knowing? Maybe you always felt you know what will happen before it occurs, or you know how others are feeling without them telling you. This sense of knowing comes from your intuition. My guest, John Holland, believes that we're all psychic. He's here to help us learn more about harnessing our inner guidance. John Holland is one of the most highly respected psychic mediums in the United States. He is also a spiritual teacher, author, and founder of My Soul Community. Having studied in the UK for 2 intensive years, he has spent the last 20 years continually training and honing his gifts, making him one of the most sought-after professional mediums on the world stage. He's starred in numerous TV shows and documentaries, and is the author of 6 books, 4 oracle decks, mobile apps, and much more. In this interview, John will explain the mechanics of our inner awareness and how we can activate it with psychic tools. He'll also explain the different types of psychic strengths and how we can tap into them to improve and enhance our lives. Hi, John. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Celine. How are you?
I am very well, thank you. So I'm really happy to have you on the show. I remember reading your book, Power of the Soul, back in the late 2000s and really connecting with your philosophy. So I'm looking forward to digging deep into the wisdom of our soul today.
Mm-hmm. Good. Go for it.
Great.
One of my favorite subjects too. And let me just say this, Celine, for us, honor to be here with you. I started to get more into the soul because when I started connecting to people on the other side, I started getting into, well, where are they? What, is it the soul? Is it their essence? Is their consciousness? So I started to delve deep into the soul part of it. And I try to tell people here, you have a soul. You are a soul that comes with a body, not a body that comes with a soul. You are soul first, right? So when you go over to the other side, you leave the physical body here, but your soul goes over to the other side. So I try to tell people the same magic, the same stuff that's you over there, you have the ability is part of you here, except you are, when someone passes, they are a spirit or a soul discarnate, you are a soul incarnate, meaning the soul is still part of you and it has all these abilities. And with it, the soul senses psychic abilities. Yeah. So it's who you really are. So I just thought I'd do that little intro for you.
Yeah. Thanks for explaining that. Yeah. Because you explain it so simply without sounding too esoteric, which is kind of strange because the topic is esoteric by nature, but you did
exactly
a great job in explaining it. And yeah. So
thank you.
It's a great introduction to,
yeah,
to everything about the soul. So
yeah. Thank you very much.
Today, we're discussing the concepts you wrote about in another one of your books, The Psychic Navigator. I have a copy right here with me.
Yep.
And I want to start by asking you, John, what inspired you to write this particular book?
I want this, something. There's so many books out there on psychic ability. And I mean, you go into the bookstore, you don't know where to begin. It's different people's opinions, different authors, different ways. I try to keep the woo-woo out of this work. You know, it's because psychic ability is part of who we are. It's part of our soul. It's like, I feel if you have a soul and you do, if you're watching this, it's part of your abilities. It's there for you. I don't believe that God, the universe, the divine would put us here or we choose to be here without that connection. And your psychic abilities are the connection, you know, whether it's clairsentient to feel, to clairaudient to hear, or clairvoyant to see, we have these abilities. So, and no matter where I studied, Celine, when I started studying psychic ability, even as a child, and as I got older and the mediumship started happening, every class I took, no matter what workshop, what country I was in, because I lived in the UK for a number of years, it would always come down to chakras, auras, meditation, and breath. Just those 4 things. And if people understand how the breath is, what the energy centers are in the body, how your aura affects you know, your psychic ability, the natural magnetic field that's around you, and meditation. Chakras are meditation and breath. That's, and I said, I want a very simple book. And that's how I broke it down.
Nice. And you believe that all of us are psychically gifted, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And isn't it funny? Everyone will agree that they have intuition, but when you say psychic ability, they get all, you know, that it puts a spin on it. And psychic.
What's the difference?
Okay. Psychic, the word psychic means of the soul, right? From the Greek psychos or psychos, not psycho, psychos, or psychikos, psychikos. And intuition is more, think of the words psychic and then of the soul, intuition. Intuition is like for you, intuition. It's kind of the same, but I say that intuition, psychic ability is taking your intuition and making it work for you, Celine, instead of getting that one hit off once in a while that, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that. I think psychic ability, I look at it this way, making intuition work for you instead of you just getting that one off hit once in a while, intuitive hit. You can ask your intuition and your psychic ability. To me, it's almost the same. It's just the wording. Intuition is like more intuition. You know, I feel. Psychic abilities for yourself and I think for others also. So similar, but not that different. Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a lot of baggage attached to the word psychic. You know, people think of a woman behind a crystal ball and kind of, you know.
With a neon sign.
Yeah. And most people won't trust someone like that. So unfortunately, there's a lot of negative association with the word psychic. And what do you have to say about that?
I say that it's getting better and better, Celine. Those little shops that you see with the neon lights, people, I don't believe that people still go into those ones. And you know which ones I'm talking about, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're not real, but a lot of them, you know, you don't need to show a neon sign. I don't have one outside my house. You know what I mean? It's more accepted now because there have been movies, there's been documentaries, there's been, been scientific tests, there's been mediums and psychics that have been tested with electrodes on their head. So it's not as, thank God, it's not as bad as it used to be. So it's more accepted now, but we all have psychic ability. We do. It's part of who you are. But what happens when a little kid is born, right? Aren't they dancing and playing and coloring and they have all this joy and they're running, okay? They're quite psychic. Kids can see things that we adults don't. Animals see things that we don't because we haven't trained them out of it. When we start school around 5, 6, 7 years old, the left analytical side of the brain, when we're born, we got that right creative side, that intuitive side, that playful side, that imagination. But what happens? School comes in and you have to learn math, spelling, you know, or a language or whatever. And so slowly, little by little, that right side, that intuitive side gets pushed aside. Sometimes it gets pushed right out because society tells you it's not, you know, trust logic, not your intuition. So that's what happens. We start to lose the ability that we have. Unfortunately, I never lost it. I was born this way. And most people who are quite psychic are also very creative when they're born. They're creative. So it does get squeezed out of us by life and by teachers. I don't think they mean to do it, but we forget about how it is. And then some people say, I don't have a psychic bone in my body. You do. I tell them to I can't teach them to be psychic. They already are. All I can do is help them remember what it was like. Yeah.
And when did you discover that you have psychic abilities?
When I came out of my mother. That's why my first book is called Born Knowing. I just was always into this. I was into it as a child. I'm one of 5 kids, Irish, Italian, Catholic family. I was always the different one. I wasn't out playing sports with my brothers or baseball or football. I was reading books, drawing, reading anything that had to do with ghosts, spirits, religion. I can't be afraid of something that was always there. I was always different, right? I knew when people were going to come over to the house that were unexpected. I knew when a relative was sick. I just knew I would finish other people's sentences. So, but you know what, too, Celine, this is in my mother's side of the family. My grandmother had some ability, but it was called, the word psychic wasn't used or intuition. It was grandma knows things. She just knows things, right? Mm-hmm. So don't think anything around her because she'll know. And she really, really was quite intuitive. My mother, not so much, but it's speckled through my family. My brother has a little. My niece has a little of it. Or when I say we're all born psychic, some of us are born with a higher potential than others. We're all born with it. I was born with the higher potential. If you're not born with the higher potential, you just need to work it. Chakras, auras, meditation, breath. Yeah.
It's like a muscle, right? That you just need a strength.
Very good. Yep. You've heard that before. You got to keep flexing it to use it. And stay away, everyone. All right. Because I know you have a big podcast. Stay away from what you think a psychic is, because it's so Hollywood. You think, you know, all the spooky movies where the psychic comes in and they start seeing apparitions, or on a TV series, they always make us over the top. They dramatize the hell out of it, right? To make it like, because that gets good ratings, right? You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, do I look like, you know what I mean? You know, it's like, I'm just a normal guy. So.
Yes, you certainly do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have got to break that stereotype, huh?
Yes. And it's happening as it is. And, you know, I'll keep doing that. As long as I keep doing this work and people see me up there. When I first started this work too, when they would come to when someone would come to the house for a reading, I'd open the door and they say, is your father home? Because that's how young I was when I was starting to do it. So yeah, it's a fact. I've always been fascinated by it, and I'm always training, always trying to learn new skills. So even my abilities are changing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the reasons why people don't have that confidence that they have the ability to be psychic is because it can be hard to distinguish their psychic sense from other voices within them. For instance, their fears, and even projecting
imagination,
things that they want to see, their imagination.
That's right.
So how can they distinguish the voices within them?
Okay. And when you say voices too, so it's more like it's in your own thought. You hear it in your own thoughts. If I say it this way, let's say imagination versus psychic or an intuitive hit or your soul trying to talk to you through your intuition is the language of the soul. Okay. So it taught your soul speaks through your, you know, through intuition. It tries to guide you. I look at it this way, Celine, if somebody is getting a thought, they're working away. Oh, I should call my sister. Oh, I just called her last week. I'll call her tomorrow. The next day, call your sister. I'll call her later. They keep pushing it off. If it keeps coming back unexpectedly, most likely that's your intuition. That's your psychic ability saying, call your sister. Imagination will just come in and go away. Yeah.
Okay. So how do you know it's not obsessive thinking?
It could. Not too deep, darling. Yes. It could be, but it's when you, it's almost like you want something to turn out a certain way. I'm going to get this job. Yep. I'm going to get that. Little by little, you realize, okay, that was me. And a good thing to ask yourself, if you're getting something, is this coming to me or from me? Think of those words. Is this coming to me or from me?
Okay.
If I'm getting a thought about, if I'm doing something, like if I'm doing something in the kitchen, right? And I'm thinking about the kitchen and I'm thinking, I get a thought. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. That's coming from me because I'm doing something in the kitchen, right? I know that's a weird example, but is it coming to me or from me? Just by saying that, you'd be like, oh, that's my own stuff. Little by little, you learn. I get intuitive hits, Celine, when, for instance, all right, when I had my dog, I walked into the house and I know where you are too. You know what a smoke alarm is, okay?
Yes.
I looked up at once. I came into the house and I said, I should change those batteries because you should change it every season anyways. And I said, I should change those batteries. Well, what happened? I should have changed the batteries. We got thousands of thoughts every day. All right. I don't know if somebody said there's like 30,000 thoughts we get, you know, whatever. You can't follow everyone. But that thought came out of the blue. Why of all days did I notice what happens, you know, in the next day? They all went off because the batteries. And my dog was freaking out. See, so my intuition, my psychic ability was saying, those are going to go off. Do you see what I mean? So I learned from that.
Yeah.
I don't follow every single thought. Yeah, see? So if it comes to you out of the blue, you're not thinking of something, you're not obsessing about something, most likely I would stop and go, okay, wait a minute. Is this me? Is this coming to me or from me? Most likely it's coming to me. Yeah.
Okay. And I'd imagine it will be harder to do if you're attached to a situation or a certain outcome.
Right. Absolutely.
For instance, if you're waiting for someone to call you back, for instance, a recruiter you're hoping to hear back from, and you'd just be like, it would be hard to have intuitive thoughts or intuitive insights about
the
recruiter's intention or whether or not they're going to hire you.
I agree. There are people who have gone for interviews, right? And they know in their gut, there's a feeling like, I feel really good about this. And there's no denying it. You think, well, how do you know they're not making it up because they love the job? There's an intuitive gut feeling not coming from your head. When we're in our head thinking, that's not intuitive, right? It's more of a gut feeling, or it's a visual thing, or you might hear something. So if it's in your head, you're thinking about it, that's not intuition. Your body knows also. Haven't you been somewhere and you got an opportunity and you were like, I feel really good about it? And sure enough, it did. And I always tell people, start off with small decisions. Don't make huge life decisions. You know, practice first, flex the muscle, right? Say to yourself, I wonder what my boss is going to wear tomorrow. What color shirt? Is it red? Is it blue? I wonder if you get a new utility bill, an electric bill. You can even do it online if you get a bill online. When you open it up, say, I wonder what the figure is going to be. Keep practicing it little by little. If you're in an office building and there are three elevators or six, right? Stand in front of the one you think is going to open. Little by little, you're like, and you start to discern what it feels like when you're right on. You can gauge, okay, that's a hit. That's a hit. That's a hit. Little by little, you can do this. Yeah.
Yeah. And you also talk about the importance of relaxing the body and the mind to tap into our intuitive senses, because it's in that space, that space of being in the present moment and being, you know, as balanced as we can be. It's
right
during those moments that we receive the strongest hits.
You have to, because think of what our world is now, Celine, right? There's social media. People are constantly on their phones. There's a lot of noise out there. There's noise, televisions, a lot of stuff happening in the world. There's a lot of noise. How can you even get an intuitive thought, right? If there's so much noise on the outside, you have to quiet it to make room for that. And a lot of people, Celine, they think meditation is Om Mani Padme Hum, ring the bell, sit in the... It's just taking a few breaths, getting real quiet, And you're never going to make your mind go blank. That's impossible. But what happens is the more you meditate, even if it's 5 minutes, counting your breaths, looking at a candle, a thought comes in, there it goes. They slow down as opposed to the monkey mind. It's called the monkey mind, where there's like every single thought that comes there. If you take 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night, just to meditate, but don't think it's Om. You could look at a candle, you could breathe, you could say a mantra, you can do mala beads, whatever you want. So getting quiet is because when stillness happens, the soul speaks. When your mind is still, there's a quote, the soul speaks. Yeah.
Yeah. And I can attest to that because I did go to a psychic workshop and the person who was conducting it made us go through a pretty brief meditation and then partnered us up with people who were doing the workshop, with other people who were doing the workshop. And we exchanged objects.
And psychometry.
Is that what it's called? Because I was paired up with a lady who gave me her wedding ring. And I just held on to a ring and I just was open to any messages I was getting about her. And I was astonished, John, because I was able to pick up so much by just staying open and just from that holding that object. And I couldn't believe it, like how much information I got. So
because it's energy.
A real believer. I'm like, this works.
Yeah. And it's not like, I'm sure you got specific things too, like, I see water, I see boats, I see an apple tree, I see, not like, you're a good person,
the
color blue.
Specific.
I know. Yeah. And psychometry works because that woman's ring, it has her energy all over it. So you're reading her energy and you're letting just the thoughts come. But when I tell people, and psychometry is holding an item, all right? And I recommend that people do that. Get a friend's. You can't really, if you read a friend, you know all about their life a lot, right? So have the friend get another relative's ring or another friend's and then try it and then they can confirm. But psychometry is the best training because when you're doing it, when I asked you, Celine, when you were honing it, do you remember if you heard, did you see, did you feel? Do you remember?
I remember.
Or all of it.
I got some visions.
Which is clairvoyance, right?
Yeah.
So psychometry gives a good solid foundation to help you figure out what are you, clairsentient, clairvoyant, clairaudient. We have all the abilities, but one
let's
of them is stronger.
Yeah? Yeah, let's talk about that. Because you write about the three psychic strengths.
Yes.
Could you please tell us what each of those are briefly?
Sure. Clairsentient, which is to feel. It works with the solar plexus energy center. That's the feel. Clairsentient is, Celine, when you walk, and I want people to watch the words that they use. People who are clairsentient, they can walk into a room and say, I don't like the feel of the furniture there. I don't like the feel of that picture there. Feel. I don't like the, you meet somebody, even though they look great, Celine, right? They look great. They got the outfit on, the purse matches, everything looks fantastic, but somebody introduces you to a friend and you're like, hi, this is my friend Beth, and she looks great, but something inside you is like, I don't like them, which is crazy, right? So we don't trust that, right? Because it's a friend's friend, and you know, and time will tell. Okay, time will tell. So clairsentient is feeling. People who are clairsentient, you're the one that everybody goes to with their problems. Everybody goes to them. You could be at a store, on a plane. People just keep talk to you out of the blue because clairsentient, we have these giant rays, this energy that comes from us, from the solar plexus. It just reaches out to people and people grab it. People who are clairsentient also can get drained by people around them.
They're probably empaths, right?
Yeah, empaths. Now that's the new word. I mean, you know, I think we're all empathic, but some, you know, there's empathy, there's empathic. Empathic is you're taking on those things, right? And if that happens to you, Celine, you seem like an upbeat person, all right? Okay. Beautiful young woman, upbeat. If out of the blue, right, you're having a good day, then all of a sudden you're feeling depressed, like, okay, why am I feeling down? It could be something happening in the world, right? Or you are picking up something from somebody else that's around you. Instead of saying, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Ask yourself, who is wrong with me? Who is wrong with me?
Interesting.
See?
So even if you get tired, like even if you have a full night's rest and we're so tired, because that happens to me sometimes.
I mean, yes. I mean, it could be a physical thing too, though, all right? I mean,
yeah,
it could be a physical thing. You need to see a doctor if you're tired. If you're getting 8 to 9 hours of sleep and you're still tired, then it could be a vitamin deficiency. But if you say, who is wrong with me, instead of what's wrong with me, you might get a flash of your brother, your child, your mother. And I say, call them and say, I was just thinking about you. And they're going to say, oh, my God, I so wanted you to call me. All right. So clairsentient people, and people with clairsentience, they could have stomach issues also, because that's the, you know, if they're not balancing that energy center right. So that's clairsentient, to feel. Most of us are feelers, right? And then there's clairvoyance. People who are clairvoyant, artists are very clairvoyant. Some people who are clairvoyant, they can see like a white glow around people sometimes. They can see little floaters. I don't talk on the eye floaters. I'm talking about little orbs. People, have you ever, Celine, seen anything out of the corner of your eye? Right? You can see it and then you look, it's gone, right? You can see it on the ground. I swear my dog is not around lately. I keep seeing something out of the corner of my eye. And that's using your peripheral vision. People are clairvoyant. They think in color. They dream a lot. But it's different than clairsentient. Clairvoyance is the third eye, which is right here, right? Mm-hmm. You're not seeing with these eyes anymore. You're seeing with this energy center. So I have to train people to look differently at someone when they're using their clairvoyance. But people who are clairvoyant, they get the bigger picture, right? That somebody could be, you're on the phone with someone, you've never met them, but visually, you know they have blonde hair. You know they have darker skin or lighter skin. When you meet them, you're like, you're exactly like I pictured you. People who are clairvoyant, they can walk into a room, Celine, and say, I don't like the look of the couch there. I don't like the look of the picture up there. I don't like the look of this person, right? So they're using the words instead of feel. Most, if the people watch their words, you can, it's a good indicator of what they are. You can use these abilities. People who are clairaudient, now that's different, right? Clairaudient is the hardest to discern because you hear it in your thoughts. It's your words, right? People who are clairaudient know it has to do with the throat chakra. People who are clairaudient, they know when people are lying to them. They just know it. They tell, you know, somebody comes in to work and says, I was late because of this. But in your head, you're hearing the thought, no, you're late because of this, right? People who are clairaudient, they might hear a ringing in their ears, that little squelch they hear once in a while. You have to make sure it's not a medical tinnitus thing called tinnitus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People who are clairaudient. Have you ever heard music playing in your head, Celine, out of the blue, a song? Not the one, the Taylor Swift one, not the Taylor Swift one right? It's a song that you keep, like you wake up to a song and it plays and plays. I always say, what's the title of the song? What are the words to the song? Mm-hmm. Because someone is trying to get your attention, your soul, someone who has passed, your own psychic ability. There's a message in there. What's the words of the song? What's the title of that song? And that has to do with, you know, clairaudient, the throat center. And people, when clairaudient happens, when I studied in England mediumship, every book I read, it was my guide came to me and mm-hmm. told me, my guide came to me and told me this. My guide came to me and gave me this lesson. My guide came to me. For the longest time, I'm sitting in the room in England waiting for this voice of like, hello, John, I am your guide. It didn't happen that way. I was expecting this guy, someone with a foreign accent to come through. It's my own thought. It's my own thought. But you said this earlier. How do you know if it's your words, your thoughts? Yeah. If you're hearing something, if you're hearing a voice tell you to do something that you normally wouldn't do, or that has something to do against, it goes against everything that you believe, that's a psychological thing, all right? It's not a true clairaudient voice, right? And people make too much out of it. If you're driving, all right, do you drive? Okay, obviously, yes.
Yes.
Okay, so you might hear in your head sometime, slow down. Now, who said that? Was it you? Was it God? Was it the divine? Was it your soul? I don't care what it was. Slow down, right? Because that happened to me in New Hampshire. All right, I'm out in the woods and I'm coming on my street. I heard slow down and there's a deer and her baby jumping right in front of my car. And if I didn't slow down, right? And you might be driving, you might hear this, go the back road, right? And you just have to just trust, like follow that guidance and just see where it takes you. But if, like I said, small. If you're hearing divorce your husband, okay, or you know, do something that's most likely a psychological thing also. So is this coming to me or is this coming from me is a good clue. Then there's claircognizant. You just know. It's just a knowing. It has all the abilities. But a lot of people, Celine, they might be clairsentient to feel, right, which is the most common, which is the easiest feeler, okay? They're like, I don't want to be clairsentient. I want to be clairvoyant. And I say this, work on your clairsentient, okay, clairsentient ability first, your psychic strength, and then the others will happen. Okay, the others will happen. And this is funny. A lot of people, they want to be clairvoyant, to see into the other world, to see into the other realms, to do medical intuition or scanning, energy scanning. When I say this, look around your own world first, right? Because aren't we always like this now?
Yeah.
We're not even looking around at the sky, the clouds, the trees, other people's faces.
That's so sad.
You know?
It's really
weird. I know. I find it sad when I'm not a parent. I don't have kids. But when I go to a restaurant and I see the mother, the father, and the two kids all on their phones, no conversation. No conversation. It's not a judgment. It's like, where's the conversation? So if you want to develop your abilities, the outside world, nature, is a wonderful tool. Look how blue the sky is. Be present. Do something mindful, right? If you're walking in grass, feel the grass on your foot. Okay, feel how cool it is. If you're on the beach, feel the sand, right? Let your outside world be a training ground for your senses. It can be quite mindful, a mindful practice, right? Like you said earlier, being in the now, being present. Yeah.
Thanks for describing that for us, John. What is telepathic senses? Like, where does that fit into all of this?
I think that is when telepathy happens with a lot of people who, a lot of married couples, it happens to. A husband could be upstairs. The wife is downstairs. The wife yells up to the husband, what do you want? What do you want? He yells down, I didn't call you. And she's like, you just called me. No, I didn't. But he might have been thinking about her, right?
Yeah.
So the thought of the power of love happens too. It can happen a lot. Just like with telepathy, you know your daughter needs you in another state or another country. Do you know what I mean? It's telepathy. or you hear, call your daughter, right? It's telepathy. Your daughter's thinking of you, you're thinking of her, and it meets there. So telepathy happens too. We call it mental mediumship. When people pass away, there's no more voice box, right? So they have to send their thoughts to me. So that's, they're using the power of telepathy, which is just you're sending consciousness, you're sending energy with a thought. Yeah.
Okay. And is that something you just have to trust? Because I'm sure it can be, at first you could be thinking, okay, I'm crazy, you know? So mm-hmm. I think it requires a certain level of trust and
yeah, really being little
able
by
to
little.
Validate what is yep. the messages that you're getting.
Absolutely. Little by little. This is not something a lot of people think that you can. Now, I've taught a lot of weekend workshops. You can't. This is you're born this way. Then layer upon layer of stuff. Mm-hmm. Other people's opinions, society gets you're surrounded by it. It takes you a little while back to that natural way you were born, that little child inside. So you can take a weekend workshop to wake up the abilities once again, but it's not going to just happen over a weekend, right? Little by people want it like this. Make me psych. I had a woman call me once, my office, and she said, how long does it take to be a medium? And my assistant said, well, John sat in a meditation circle for 2.5 years. He went to, he did some demonstrations first, and she goes, oh, no, I need it this weekend. No, she wanted to be a medium trained in a weekend. I don't know where she was coming from. When she heard this, it's a little work, but it's worth it. It is so worth it. Your intuitive senses, your psychic ability, it's there for you. And I, you know, first acknowledge I am psychic. I am psychic. All right. We all have the ability. Own it. First, it's part of our natural birth. It's our natural birthright. Yep. And it's not spooky or evil or, you know, curses, any of that stuff. No, it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. And another chapter that really fascinated me was the one about auras. You say that it's a really important component of our psychic abilities, and you describe it as a human psychic atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Can you please tell us about your experience with auras and why they're so important when it comes to psychic reading?
Well, because magnetic field. And if you look at Kirlian photography, Kirlian, right, they put a healer's hand on two electrical plates, and then there's like an electric charge that goes through it, not to the person. And you'll see the energy field coming off the fingers, right? Every living thing has an aura. Every single living thing has an aura. There's no way around it. You know, when a lot of people want to see the aura, I say, first I want people to understand, to know that they have one, all right? Have you ever been in line and you can feel somebody step behind you, right? Yeah. But you can't see them, but they stepped into your energy field. Have you ever been at a party, a meeting, whatever, church, whatever it is, you look up and somebody's staring at you? Because their aura is touching your aura. You meet somebody for the first time, all right? Remember I told you, you like them or you don't, this is what happens. They have an aura, you have an aura, okay? It's the electric magnetic field that's around us. It's scientific, it's photographed, it's there, right? You meet somebody for the first time, they have an aura, you have an aura. They start to merge, right? So what happens is when you meet someone, whether you're clairsentient, clairvoyant, or clairaudient, that chakra, that psychic strength is going to be activated. Do you understand? So this here, and when I do mediumship, I extend my aura, okay? And those on the other side, they extend theirs. I raise my energy and they lower theirs, and that's how it happens. So the electric magnetic field has been photographed. It's when you know someone's standing behind you. And you can constrict it and make it go out as far as you want, depending on what you need. It can be a great protective shield for you also. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do I mean by that? If you don't, for the empaths, you don't want to be so sensitive. Imagine you got the solar plexus energy center, color is yellow. Instead of seeing it like a giant sun, imagine it like a little tiny flame. So you're making yourself less sensitive. Imagine your aura being tight. So you're not picking things. If I went into a concert, a music hall, outdoors, I want my aura to be open, right? It happens, right? You can feel the music. You know when people, yeah. You know, really, when you say,
aren't you risking yourself being kind of enmeshed with other auras, and especially this, kind of auras that are not very high quality?
This is for me. I'm talking about myself. If I want to go to a concert, I want to experience every sense, hearing, feeling, seeing the joy of other people, right? I know, but I can't go in there. I'm scared, because you will project, if you project fear, if you put that out there, you're going to get it. You know what I mean? And your aura is very magnetic. Whatever thought you have goes into the aura and gets magnified 1,000 times, goes out to the universe. That's why you got to be careful of your thoughts. What you put out, you attract. What you put out, you attract. It'd be like somebody, Celine, that constantly feels something's going to happen to me. When I walk, something's going to happen to me. They're putting it out there, right? It's like fear, all right? Whatever you put out, you attract. You got good thoughts, you're a good person, put it out there. And be careful what you say about other people, because it's like a boomerang, comes right back to you, right? So the aura, it's where the energy we pick up first. You know, when you were doing the psychometry?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that ring has like an aura to it, doesn't it? It's like a magnetic, there's energy in there. So you're picking that up and it's going into you, all right? Whether you're clairsentient, clairvoyant, or clairaudient. But your aura knows what you want it to do. I say pull in if you don't want to be so sensitive, okay? But if I want to be sensitive, that's how I work. But yet you'll hear this. To protect yourself against negative influences, not evil entities. You got somebody negative at work who sits right there beside you. Imagine there's a big white bubble around you. That's your extending your aura. So they can't get in there, right, with your energy. But you said, well, wait a minute, John, this makes you sensitive. Now you're saying pull it out to be less sensitive, to protect yourself. Your aura knows what it wants. Your aura knows what you want it to do. Protect. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, it's fascinating. That's why I kept the book Psychic Navigator simple. Chakras, auras, meditation, but it's not this big book.
Yeah, it is.
Do you know what I mean? You know?
Yeah. And I just want to let our listeners know that we've just scratched the surface here, John.
I know.
Great psychic tools here. And if you really want to develop your intuitive and psychic abilities, I highly recommend this book. And if you want to learn more about, you know, John's other books, his products and services, please visit his website, johnholland.com. Yeah. John, this conversation has been so enlightening. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
With us today.
You're welcome. That book was written a long time ago and it's changed size. I just did it on audio, but what that book, it comes in and you go online and you download, there's a code for, it's an audio download, takes you through the energy centers, how to open them up properly and how to expand them, how to close down. And it's called Raising the Power. Beautiful meditation. It comes with that. And I'm just glad that, I'm just glad that Hay House is, it still does well. And a lot of teachers and students are still benefiting from. So I think you're beautiful. So congratulations on your podcast. And you keep spreading the word, doing what your soul is guiding you to do too, Celine. So thank you, sweetheart. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And also, I just want to mention the Oracle card decks. His Oracle decks are just brilliant. They're so beautiful. I actually own two of them. So definitely check those out as well.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you just heard, please subscribe to my podcast and feel free to share it with your friends and family. Take care and speak soon.